You're listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns. This podcast is going to change your life. You're probably sat there hoping to be entertained. Well, as Robbie Williams once said, let me entertain you. This podcast is a TFH and a 7OTB mashup, a remix, if you will. So, how on earth did you get on last game week? I didn't do too badly, so I'm feeling pretty good. There's a bit of a spring in my step, but I'll obviously tell you about that later. You know something? I was sat here thinking, hasn't it felt like an absolute millennium? Oh, another Robbie Williams reference there. Since we last spoke to each other, a lot can change in 7 days in the world of football. Think about it. Jose wins and hates his players. Klopp wins and loves his Salah. Everton did something extremely weird and won an away match. Tottenham Hotspur are through to a cup semi-final, which will be played at their home ground. See, football is weird. And Leeds. Leeds lost another match and another Yorkshire derby, meaning if the league started in New Year, we'd be bottom of the Championship below Sunderland. Yes, Sunderland. What a life. Well, not for me, of course. On this very exciting podcast journey, we are taking the National Express from the Midlands, well, to another part of the Midlands again. What is it about me and the Midlands that I love so much? We started off 3 weeks ago doing the Coventry Seven of the Best. Then we did the Leicester Seven of the Best. Now we're here again. What is it, do you think I love about the Midlands? Is it the culture? No, probably not. Is it the food? No, probably not. Is it the weather? Definitely not. Is it the football and the people? Yes, and bloody yes it is. We are heading to Pride Park to count down the seven of the best Derby County players ever. Last week, we crowned Sepp Smith as Leicester City's greatest ever player. As always, big love and thanks goes out to every 7OTB player and football friend who gave that podcast a listen. I bet you're there, hoping and wishing young Alex Mearns, yes, I am still young, would tell you what on earth is going on this pod. Well, on these pods, we'll be going through different clubs up and down the football land and deciding who were the seven of the best from that particular club's history. The reason I give you these scrumptious audio goodies where we count down the seven of the best is because this podcast is kindly sponsored by the greatest football game in the land, 7otb.com. If seven of the best was an animal, it would be a weird but incredible hybrid of a tiger and a shark featuring a T-Rex. It's that good. You know this by now, but for those asleep at the back of the class, let me say this loud. 7OTB is a free-to-play game where you, yes you football friend, pick your seven of the best predictions from the top eight football leagues in the country. Five wins, one banker, which is the team you most strongly feel will win that game week, and one draw to top it off. Us lucky 7OTB players try each week for the £250 on offer in the individual prize. Whoever gets the top score on the game goes home with all that money. The next prize is the £700 team prize on offer 7OTB puts on every week. That's where you and all your mates combine your scores together. And if you're the highest scoring team, you will win that money to share and you will probably go on a massive night out. Money, money, money. It's so funny as long as you win it. The big prize, though. Hold your horses for this one. 7OTB has on offer if you get seven of the best four game weeks in a row. That means you must pick your seven selections. If you get all seven correct four times in a row, you will be a millionaire. You will win £1 million. And best of all, It's free to play. All you've got to do is head to our website, 7otb.com. Every week, I think of one new thing I would spend that £1 million on if I was to be so lucky and win it. And it's a weird one this week. It is a little bit of a weird one. I'm going to admit something to you that I've, well, only just admitted to myself. I'm addicted to Terry's chocolate oranges. Yes. Poundland have Terry's chocolate oranges. What? Guess how much they are? Well, they're a pound. Yes, well done. You're very good and smart. So, I thought to myself, I would buy a milli Terry's chocolate oranges and I would slowly, well, not slowly, I would quickly watch my teeth fall out. What a life, I think. What a life. Moving on. Anyway, moving on, Alex. What are we going to be doing on this podcast? We're going to be picking our seven of the best players from Derby County. We'll be giving you the opportunity to pick your seven of the best Derby players via At The Football Hour. I'll be talking to you about my very respectable score on 7OTB last week. We'll have a gander at how Ledley King's legends got on and see what were his big talking points from last weekend. Baggies fans, you might want to skip that bit. Word of warning. We'll be hearing from last week's 7OTB individual winner, who, of course, is very happy. Then we'll be walking you through my predictions for week 34 and telling you how to get your predictions in by 3:15 this very Saturday, the 24th of March. The year is flying. But first, football friends, let's kick off the show by counting down the seven of the best Derby players ever. This podcast will certainly not be mentioning the likes of Claude Davis, Hossam Ghali, I hope I pronounced that correctly, or Dean Leacock. Cock by name, crap by nature. What we'll be doing is we're going to be focusing on the cream of the white crop. So we'll start from seven and work our way to the best player to ever play for the Rams. Here we go. At number seven, Mr. Peter Shilton. What can you say about Peter Shilton? Well, Peter Shilton is Peter Shilton, and he has been Peter Shilton since year dot. Former England manager Bobby Robson's quote is both comical, nonsensical, and yet also sums up perfectly a player whose record-breaking achievements meant he needed no introduction. One of the game's greatest goalkeepers, Shilton's ability was matched by his longevity. He played 1,390 times for 11 clubs during his career, finally calling it a day into his late 40s. He remains one of England's most capped players, making 125 appearances in a 20-year career, a tally that would have been significantly larger had it not been for the presence of fellow legend Ray Clements, with whom he alternated in the England goal during the 70s and 80s. Shilts was a brilliant shot stopper who bossed his area and was renowned for his dedication to training. In his 125 games between the sticks, England won 66 times, conceded only 80 goals, and he kept a record 65 clean sheets. He bowed out on a high in 1990, helping the Three Lions to reach the World Cup semis, the team's best showing since we won the World Cup in 66. Shilton's domestic career was littered with honours, most notably at Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest from 77 to 82, where he won the League Championship, the League Cup, the European Cup twice, and was voted PFA Player of the Year in 1978. In 89, though, he helped the Derby side of Mark Wright, Dean Saunders and Ted McKinn finish fifth in the league, and they only missed out competing in UEFA Cup due to the ban on English clubs in European competition. That was Peter Shilton at number seven. At number six on the chart, Igor Stimmett, perhaps one of the most influential of all Jim Smith's signings. Igor brought a new dimension to Derby County. He was a regular member of the increasingly successful Croatia team when a fee of £1.5 million brought him from Hajduk Split. Yes, I said that right, I think. If Igor was alarmed by what he saw of his debut, a 5-1 defeat by Tranmere Rovers at Prenton Park, he did not show it. The defensive formation changed after that. and Derby embarked on an unbeaten run of 20 league games, putting them well on the way to the Premier League. Igor had an unshakable faith in his considerable ability, and his confidence affected those around him, especially in the First Division. It often appeared to intimidate opponents. When he arrived at Derby, Igor spoke little English, but within a matter of weeks became fluent. That's incredible. Although he did not believe he should play unless fully fit, Igor could always point to the results when he was there. He had a presence, a style and a class, a magnificent player. He was, of five Derby County players at the 98 World Cup Finals in France, where to his pride, Croatia finished third. After a brief spell with West Ham, Igor returned to Split to attend to his many business interests. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, Igor sort of likes business more than he likes football. Anyway, number five, Alan Durban. Alan Durban was 22 when Tim Ward signed him from Cardiff for 10 grand in July 63. It was money well spent, for Durban was one of the few to survive and play a significant part in the Clough era. He had two distinct phases at Derby, the first as a goal-scoring inside forward, and the second as an intelligent midfield player. In his first role, he formed a productive partnership with Eddie Thomas. Durban went on to score more than 100 goals for Derby, including four hat-tricks, but his best days were in midfield. He had no great pace, nor was he a particularly good tackler, but he had a wonderful feel for the flow of the game and a delicate touch. Perhaps his greatest attribute was an ability to find space in crowded penalty areas, arriving late to score a large percentage of his goal from close range. He earned 27 Welsh caps before joining Shrewsbury Town, where he became player-manager and steered them out of the fourth division in 74-75. Durban played more than 550 league games on all 92 grounds before he retired. He became manager of Stoke City in 78 and was involved in another promotion success in 79, third place in Division 2. After an unhappy spell with Cardiff, he became manager of Telford Tennis Centre but returned to football with Derby, helping Roy McFarlane after back trouble ended Arthur Cox's time as manager. Speaking of Roy, number four, Roy McFarland. Brian Clough and Peter Taylor had seen Roy playing for Tranmere Rovers when they were in charge of Hartlepool and made him their second signing at Derby. He was then 19 and had been snatched from under the noses of Liverpool, the team he supported, for less than 25 grand. Clough and Taylor bought a player who they felt sure would develop into the best centre-half in England. With Dave McKay alongside him to speed up his maturing process in 68-69, McFarlane was a key figure in the team that romped away from the second division title. He made his England debut in Malta in Feb 1971 and led Derby to the 71-72 League Championship. McFarlane had the football world at his feet, although he suffered a black week in 1973 when Clough and Taylor resigned and England were knocked out of the World Cup in the qualifying stages because they were unable to beat Poland at Wembley. It was also at Wembley in May 74 that McFarlane sustained the severe Achilles tendon injury, which was to keep him out of all but the last four games in the 74-75 Championship triumph. He was able to regain his England place briefly, and his 28 appearances constituted a record for a Rams player, passing Alan Durban's 27 appearances for Wales, but was later overtaken by, of course, Peter Shilton. Sadly, for McFarlane, the best part of his playing career came first, and in a declining side, he was increasingly susceptible to injuries. He came player manager of Bradford City and promptly led them from Division 4 in 81-82 before returning to Derby in controversial circumstances. Derby were fined for an illegal approach. He played a few matches when he was Taylor's assistant in the first part of the sad 83-84 season. At his peak, he was one of Derby's all-time greats, skillful, consistent and ruthless, a superb professional and of England's best post-war defenders. defenders. McFarlane was caretaker manager after Taylor's dismissal and worked successfully with Arthur Cox as Derby rose back through the divisions. He became manager in his own right when back trouble forced Cox's resignation, but the days of lavish spending were over. Number 3, Kevin Hector. Kevin Hector had scored 113 league goals in 176 games for Bradford when Tim Ward astonished supporters by signing him for £38,000. Derby pottered along unambitiously in the second division. We're not expected to pay fees of that size, but Hector was an instant success. He was christened the King by supporters and retained the nickname, even when he became one fine player among many in the great days of the early 70s. He did more than survive the advent of Brian Clough and Peter Taylor. He was an integral part of the teams which won the second division and two league championships. He was gifted with pace and a marvellous balance, so the goals flowed regularly. Between 70 and 72, he played 105 consecutive league games from August 67 to December 74. He missed only 4 of 314 league games, an astonishing record for a striker. Sir Alf Ramsey should have given him an early England run, and his debut against Poland in October 73 was farcical. A couple of minutes as a sub to try and get England through to the World Cup finals. He nearly did it too, being denied only by a Polish kneecap on the goal line. His only other cap was also as a sub. Tommy Docherty sold Hector to Vancouver Whitecaps, and he spent the English seasons playing for Boston United and Burton Albion. Before Colin Addison brought him back in October 80. By the time he bowed out with a goal against Watford in a match Derby had to win to ensure their second division place, Hector had made more appearances than any other player in Derby's history and scored 201 goals, a total surpassed only by Steve Bloomer. He gave supporters immense pleasure through his style, his goals, and his manner on and off the field. Number 2, Archie Gemmell. Gemmell cost Derby £66,000 when he was signed from Preston to take over from Willie Carling in midfield. So keen was Brian Clough to complete the deal that he stayed overnight in the Gemmell's house. Pace was the first important ingredient Gemmell added, but he soon developed into one of the finest midfield players in Britain. He began running every August and did not stop until the following May, urging the rest of the team, competing in every area of the field and using his pace as the ace. After a stunning UEFA Cup performance against Atletico Madrid in Spain, their Argentine manager, Juan Carlos Lorenzo, embraced and embarrassed Gemmell as Magnifico. Gemmell made 40 appearances for the 71-72 champions, and in the absence of Roy McFarland, was an inspirational captain when the title returned to Derby 3 years later. He won a third championship medal in 77-78 after joining Forest in what was for Derby a disastrous exchange deal that brought goalkeeper John Middleton and £25,000. He played 43 games for Scotland, 22 of them while with Derby, including 6 as captain, and gained a League Cup winner's medal with Forest, but was disappointed to be left out of Forest's 79 European Cup final team. He was the first signing after Peter Taylor's appointment as manager, did more than most in a successful fight against relegation. In 83-84, Taylor fell out with Gemmell, and although McFarlane restored him to the team, his career ended sadly with relegation to Division 3. He was on Clough's coaching staff and after 2 years as joint manager of Rotherham United, returned to Derby as overseas scout under Jim Smith. We are here. Finally, Derby's greatest ever player, Steve Bloomer. Bloomer moved to Derby as a child, learned his football at St James' School and played with Derby Swifts in the Derbyshire Minor League, scoring 14 goals for them in one match. That form brought him to the Rams' attention, and his first game in a Derby County strip against Darley Dale, he scored 4 times. Bloomer made his league debut at Stoke in September 1892 and soon established himself as a favourite with the crowd. Pale-faced, almost ill-looking, Bloomer's appearance belied his worth to the side. He scored goals from all angles, plundering them from close range and launching rockets from 25 yards. He was Derby's leading scorer in all matches 14 seasons and won the first of 25 England caps in 1895, scoring twice in a 9-0 win over the Irish at Derby. Bloomer took his fair share of digging elbows and clogging feet, but nothing could stop this peerless footballer whose rapid shot was matched by exquisite defence-splitting passes. Some critics said that he played too much for himself, and colleagues dreaded a Bloomer stare when the ball was not put to his feet. Yet Bloomer was a legend. In 1906, he went to Middlesbrough, rejoining Derby to a hero's welcome in 1910 and skippering the Rams to promotion. In 1914, he went on to coach in Germany, where he interned during World War I. After the war, he played with and coached the Rams at reserve and first team level, then enjoyed a successful spell with Real Iron in Spain, winning the King's Cup, before returning to the baseball ground as a general assistant. In failing health, Bloomer was sent on a cruise, but in April 1938, 3 weeks after returning home, Derby County's greatest player was sadly dead. He is, of course, 7OTB's and the Football Hour's greatest Derby County player. If you do not agree with any of our picks and wish to create your own 7 of the best Derby players, tweet at the Football Hour using the hashtag 7OTBDCFC with your selections. Now the countdown is over. Let's get on to 7OTB.com matters. The boss at the top of our business is Ledley King. Yes, the Spurs legend King. He does a little news article called 7 Talking Points from the Weekend Games. You can read the full article online at our website. Since retiring, he likes to keep us 7OTB players informed with his opinions on the latest football results. This week, Mr. King has pinpointed a really bad footballing side. No, not Leeds United, another even worse footballing side. No, you're not actually that bad. Mr. King said this: West Brom are as good as relegated after their 8th straight defeat in the Premier League. The Baggies have only won 3 of their 31 league games this season and are 10 points adrift of safety with 7 games to play. Alan Pardew has won one of his 17 games in charge of the club. Due to the international break, you won't be able to pick the Baggies this game week, but don't worry, that's a good thing. As well as writing us website articles, Ledley likes to get involved with the playing of the game. This is how his legends got on last week. The legends scored just 75 points, with none of the lads able to net more than 16 points. Unlucky I netted 17. The legends are now in 21st place in the team table for the season. Ooh, they're dropping, they're going up one week, they're dropping the next. They need to continue that form, lads. Come on, you can do it. If you want to set up your teams like Ledley has done, you should know what to do by now. But if you don't, listen up. You can go to Manage My Team section on our website and send your mates an email or WhatsApp invite. If your team gets the highest score that game week, you share that £700 I was talking about at the start of the podcast. Enough of Ledley and his Premier League legends. Let's talk about me and me getting more points than all of them. Yes, week 33 didn't go too badly for me. It started off with 5 points and 5 goals for Liverpool. Thank you, Mo Salah. La 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 la. Then, disappointing result. Aston Villa lost to Bolton. I went for an away win. Bolton managed to win, so I got 0 points for that. But that made me think, have we done Aston Villa on 7 of the best? I don't think we have yet, have we? That might be next week's. That'll be Midlands Club again. We can't do another Midlands Club, can we? Anyway, we might have already done it. I don't know, I'm getting lost now. Anyway, moving on. I got 3 points because Bristol City won against Ipswich. Then Wolves beat Burton, another 3 points. Accrington won, another 3 points. Aberdeen won, another 3 points. Everton won away, which means, oh, I got 0 points. I went for my draw, Stoke City versus Everton. It could have definitely been a draw. I don't think I did too badly there. 17 points for game week 34. These are my predictions. Wins for Wigan, Peterborough, Luton, Notts County, Dover. And my banker is Sutton at home to Chester FC. Look out for that one in the National League. Then my draw, Torquay versus Guiseley. Two very, very poor clubs, which are gonna draw nil-nil, aren't you, lads? You better draw nil-nil. To enter your predictions, head to our website, 7otb.com, to set up your profile and new teams with your mates. Then, just like I have, insert your seven of the best game week selections. Remember, you must make your week 34 selections by 2:45 this Saturday, the 24th of March. It's free to enter, and you can try and play your way to that £1 million. You are always 4 weeks away from winning our major prize, which is £1 million. One final podcast shout out has to go to Alex Pike. Alex Pike was our individual winner, and he says thanks very much, 7OTB, for the £250 cash prize. I owe my winning points total to 6 solid home victories and 6 clean sheets and a moment of magic in the 97th minute from Riyad Mahrez to earn Leicester a draw. A special mention to Bristol City, whose 4-goal margin of victory over Sheffield Wednesday earned an all-important bonus point. Well, congratulations, Alex Pike. Oh, I bet he's happy. I bet he's happy. Imagine that. On Monday morning, getting the email from us at 7OTB saying you have been the individual prize winner. Well, congratulations, Alex. That is the end of the podcast. You are the final bit of the podcast. All I must say is follow our Twitter at 7OTB Football for the latest stats to help you to decide which teams you are going to pick. And next week, I will see you on The Football Hour and the 7 of the Best podcast. Thank you so much for giving me your ears to talk football. And thank you, Derby County, for having such brilliant footballers for me to count down. I've been Alex Mearns. Thank you, 7OTB. I will see you all next week.
You've been listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.